All right, Jeremiah chapter 18. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. Is everybody there?
Amen.
All right. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." There's another verse in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8. It's kind of short. 64 verse 8 says, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter. And we all are the work of thy hand." So the potter and the clay. You ever heard a message about the potter and the clay? Did you ever hear a song about the potter and the clay? Oh yeah, we've heard a lot about it. We've sang about it, talked about it, preached about it. But the deal is, are you really clay in the potter's hand? That's what we got to ask ourselves tonight. Am I really the clay? Am I really yielded to God? You need to ask yourself. I'll ask myself tonight. Am I really yielded to God? Spirit, soul, and body. You're not yielded to God just because you dress right. That don't mean you're yielded to God. You're not yielded to God just because you feel religious in your spirit. You're not. Doesn't mean you're yielded to God just because you know the Bible really well. And you've studied and you memorized a lot of verses and you know where they're at. No, no, no. Am I really yielded to God? What do you think about yourself tonight? Are you? I mean, to be honest. You don't have to tell me. It wouldn't do no good anyway. Nobody would probably tell the truth about yourself to anybody else if you'd really... I mean, if we're just going to be honest about it here tonight. Or am I still convinced that I'm in charge and that if I'm ever to become anything useful to God, it's up to me? Now, is that the way I feel about it, or am I just clay in the potter's hand? How is it? Well, is my heart really soft and pliable? Is it? Is it yielding to the soft touch of the master's hand? You know, a potter don't have to really, I mean, he don't have to put a lot of pressure on it. It's slow, a little at a time, gentle. But the clay responds to his touch. I mean, how pliable is your heart tonight? How hard is it? Can God change you? I mean, when's the last time God really just changed you? I mean, changed your course. Changed something about you basic in your soul, in your heart. When's the last time that happened? Is my heart so hard that it can't be worked by the slow, soft working of God's hand, but only by the impact of a hammer that shatters in pieces? Thy word is a hammer that shatters in pieces. Is that the way it's got to be? I hope not. Well, I don't want it to be that way with me. I have been that way in the past. Yep, I've had to be hammered. Have you? It's not pleasant, is it? It's a whole lot better. Everything works a lot better if we just yield to the hand of the Lord as He works on us. Do you resist? I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but you know, this is all it's about here. Are you pliable? Do you respond to what the Lord does in your life to make you into what He wants you to be? Or do you just still, I mean, you're on your course for what you think and what you want and what you believe, and And you just plow through no matter what. It's either one of the two ways. Right. Can I rest in the fact that it doth not yet appear what we shall be? Is that, am I okay with that? That God is still working on me? Am I okay with I'm not what I'm going to be yet? Can you live with that? I mean, can you be satisfied with that? Can you be content with the fact that God is working on me to make something out of me? And I'm yielded to Him. When He touches, He doesn't have to yank the reins. He doesn't have to whip me and kick me to make me turn. Or am I determined to be what I have in mind for myself? Your dreams, how much do they mean to you? I mean, that what you have in your life. I mean, a job, a place, you know, how much does that really mean to you? Money! It's hard for a rich man to enter into heaven. You know why? Because he loves his money. He loves his riches. That's why the young man went away sorrowful, because he had many riches. He went away. Nope. Well, he wanted eternal life, but he wanted to buy it with his money. Not all of his money, just a little bit of his money. Jesus said, you want it? Sell all you have. Give it to the poor and come and follow me and you'll have riches in heaven. No, bad deal, he thought. He loved what he had. He was not yielding. That was the touch of the Master, but nope, resisted. I'm the clay. I am the clay. Are you the clay? Clay has impurities in it. You can't just go out here and get a shovel full of clay and put it on the potter's wheel and go to work on it. That is not going to work. Rocks and bubbles and dried clumps of stuff cause the clay to be marred in the potter's hand. It may look good, but it may look pure at first glance, but it's not pure. There's stuff in there that you can't see until you sift it. The clay must be sifted thoroughly before it can be used, and even then it can have impurities that'll mar the vessel while it's on the wheel. There is so much right there. I just don't know how to preach short messages and get through stuff like this. You got to sift it. Jesus said to Peter, Satan hath desired to have thee that he may sift you as wheat. And I've prayed for you. That's part of the deal. You're going to be sifted. Who's going to sift you? He just told us. He said, but I've prayed for you. Then when thou art converted, you know, strengthen the brethren. Well, it might only be a small speck. You may have it sifted and you may think your life's in pretty good order. Let me just get real straight with it here. You may think you've pretty much attained. You would never say that. None of us would ever say that because we know that's not right to say, but in our heart, we really feel like, boy, we're just getting close to the mark. I don't know how it could get any better. I mean, I do this, I don't do that. I think this way, and I feel this way, and I love everybody, and everything's okay. We might think that way. And, as a matter of fact, you may be pretty far along in your Christian life and been sifted pretty good. And you may get started on what you think God's got the purpose for your life. And then you know what might happen? When you get on the wheel, you know what might happen? There might be some more impurities show up there that got through the sifter. And it might mar the whole thing. There's so many people that have thought they were called to be a missionary or called to be a preacher or whatever, or called to go here, go there. And it just turned into a disaster. Well, the way that is God is working on His clay. See? Yep. It's part of the process. Yep. Can you take the process? Who was he preaching in Sunday school? Was it you, Seth, talking about the process here a while back? The process is what it's all about. It's not the end thing. It's the process that gets that accomplishes everything in our life. These potters are making a vessel out of some dirt and water on a wheel. That's what he's doing. And it's not so much what the vessel is going to be. It's the process. We don't glory and we don't grow and we don't get better and we don't become useful at the end product. I mean, it's the process that gets rid of all the impurities and makes a vessel that's fit for the master's use. Usually it's only a small speck, but it can cause the whole thing to be marred. And it requires the wheel to stop for a while. And you got to open up a big old wound in the clay to remove it. If it's a rock, if it's a little speck of something, you got to stop the wheel and you got to dig it out. Gouge it out. And you got to try to heal it over and then start again. You know, the impurities will never be found in the clay unless it is yielded to the potter's hand. You know that? Never know. You never know. Never know what God could have done with you if you won't yield yourself to God. Your soul, your spirit, your body, your mind, your heart. If it's not all yielded, truly yielded to God, where you quit fighting, quit rebelling, quit resisting, why, you'll never know what you could have been. The impurities are going to stay there, and they're going to make you unusable. When the impurities are found, they got to be purged. They got to be gotten rid of, taken out of there. And that stops the work of the potter for a time and sometimes causes him to have to start all over again. And we're going to look at that in a second here, but there's more to what I read in these verses. Potter can't work with clay that doesn't have any moisture in it or not enough moisture in it. The clay has to be wet or it's unpliable. It resists. It doesn't. It's not yielded. It doesn't respond. It doesn't mold. He can't shape it if it doesn't have enough moisture in it. The Word of God is referred to or likened to what? Water. So if we don't contain enough of the Word of God, we'll not be workable to the potter. God can't work on you if there's no Word of God in you.
Right.
If you don't have understanding and know the Word of God, I mean, that's how it's the limit on that you put on that is the limit that is put on God working on you. God can't do anything with you. God can't use you or me if the Word of God is not living in us. Amen.
Yep, sir.
You can't ignore the Word of God. You can't live without it. You can't be a Christian and a vessel that is fit for the master's use without the Word of God. And the more of it, the better.
Right.
If we don't contain enough of the Word of God, we're not workable by the potter. Those who neglect reading and studying the Word of God become hard in their hearts and minds and unyielding to the working of God in their life. I can tell you for a fact, sure and certain, when people sit in church and they do not respond to the preaching of the Word of God and they're cold and hard and hard-headed and stubborn and set in their ways, they're not reading the Word of God. If they are, they're just twisting it as they read it to suit their own selves.
Yes, sir.
Amen. They're reading it like a book. They're not reading it as the Word of God and receiving it with understanding. Faith, as we talked about this morning, gives you understanding. They come together. So I can guarantee you that everybody that is resisting the potter's hands on them, they're resisting the Word of God also. As water softens ground when it's hard, so the Word of God softens the hard heart and the stubborn mind and will. And let me tell you something. The longer you live, the more true that is. The older you get, you won't hardly be able to read the Word of God without weeping. Because it's just so real and so true. And it'll soften up your heart with faith.
Yes.
Reading the Word of God with faith. The Word was not had no effect on them because there was no faith mixed in with it, in them. I'm jobbing that all together, but that's what the Bible says. Didn't have any effect on them because they didn't receive it in faith. So, without exception, those who are yielded to God on the potter's wheel are those who are filled with the Word of God also. You can take that to the bank. Ain't nobody, God ain't going to call nobody. He ain't going to use nobody. He's not going to do anything with anybody who don't read and study and love the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
If they do without that, they're phony. Fake hypocrite. It's not God. Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His Word do I hope. There you go. Now the clay that's yielded to the potter, that's going to be his attitude. That's going to be his life. You know, people talk about life verses. That'll be his life verse. That's what life's all about. Waiting on the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His Word do I hope. Potter can't take a vessel made out of clay that is... The potter can't make a vessel out of clay that is not yielded. He can't do it. It's a slow, painful process. Even if the clay is totally yielded. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? It's a slow process. It's a painful process. Even if you're yielded. No instant things in God's work. God don't do things that way. There's a certain point in a process when things happen quickly. But the process is a long time. And the process of God, He's a potter. That's what these verses tell us here. And there's many, many more verses in the Bible. I'm going to read some more here, but that talk about this and liken God's working in our life to the potter. And the clay. It takes a lot of patience on the part of the potter. Have you ever thought about that side of it? Have you ever thought about yourself and then you thought about God and how much patience He's had with you and your foolishness and your stubbornness and your hardness of heart and unyieldness of your will? Have you ever thought? Would I have ever put up with something as long as He's put up with me? Takes a lot of patience on the part of the potter. I found that in a lot of work. I was telling somebody the other day, we was working on the sawmill and something stuck or whatever it was. I don't even remember what. Oh, pressing bearings and stuff on it. Stuff stuck. And I said, well, I've learned this. You got to go slow. And you got to slow down. You go to beating and slamming and rushing and getting a cheater pipe, and I mean, we're going to do this. I mean, you're going to make a bigger mess than you want.
Yes.
Well, you got a stuck bolt. You got something stuck, and it's a problem, a hard thing. You better just go get your PB blaster and a little ping hammer, and a wrench, and you better just take your time and work real slow if you want to get this thing fixed. A lot of times, I just say, man, just go, I'm leaving. Because I'm fixing to break it if I keep up with this. You got to have patience. A potter has to have patience. When he sits down at that wheel, he's got to size everything up and he's got to go slow. It's not something he's going to do in 5 minutes. God has lots of patience with us. And for that, we ought to be very thankful. Very thankful. But it's impossible if the clay is resisting the potter's hand. He has to be patient, but boy, if the clay just doesn't cooperate. You know, it's not natural. It's not logical or sensible for clay to resist. I know this sounds kind of maybe silly, but God gave us this analogy here. Not me. Clay is clay. It's nothing. It's dirt. What are you? What am I?
Yep,
tell me, what are we? What are we?
Dirt.
We're just dust. Yeah.
Water.
Dust thou art, and to the dust thou shalt return.
Right.
A little bit of dust and a drop or two of water, and that's what we're made of. And boy, there's something living in that little conglomeration there that says, it's mine, it's mine. And I'll do with it what I want. You can see it all through. You know, people buy a little piece of ground, and they'll put a fence up around it and then sit with their gun just waiting on somebody to... It's my land. It's my yard. It's my house. It's... Same way. You know, this is my body. This is my piece of ground. No, it's just... It ought to be yielded to the master's use.
Yes, sir.
Your body, did you know, is not your own?
Yes.
Saved or lost. Doesn't matter. It belongs to God. He made it. It's His.
Yeah.
It don't belong to you. Just because you live in it, you squatter. What in the world? What they call them out in the Old West? You nester. You're trespassing on God's property. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Your body is not your own. It belongs to God. And you're just temporarily living there. I mean, if we rent a house to somebody, we don't like them thinking it's their house. It's our house. They're just living there.
Right.
They better take care of it, too. And they better do this and better not do that and blah, blah, blah. Well, how do you think God feels?
Mm-hmm.
This, you're not your own. You're bought with a price.
Right.
So you're to yield what? Your body and your soul and your spirit wholly unto God. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. That's your reasonable service.
Yep.
So God ought to be able to do with us what we want.
Mm-hmm.
Body, soul, and spirit. It's not natural or logical for the clay to resist. How does dirt resist?
Yeah.
Anything. Romans 9, verse 20 and 21 says, "Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, and of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?"
Yep.
I don't want to just be a pew setter. I don't want to just be a nobody. I want to be somebody. Well, maybe God made you to be nobody. Did you know that most of the time the nobodies are really the somebodies, and the somebodies are really nobodies? Do y'all know that?
That's true.
That's right.
Yep.
God's the one who decides that.
That's right.
Not us. And so, isn't it crazy? "Nay, but O man, who art thou that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed her, Why hast thou made me thus?" You happy with the way God made you? Or do you murmur and complain about him? "I'm ugly. I'm too fat. I don't like my hair. I don't like my eyes. I don't like my nose. I don't like my feet. They're too big. I hit several of you, didn't I?" Yeah. "I don't like my brown hair. I want it blonde. I don't like my blonde hair. I want it red." People actually do that. I don't understand. But they do that. You ought to be satisfied with the way God made you. I don't believe you're yielded to God if you're not.
Amen.
I just don't see how you can be yielded to God saying, "Lord, I'm yours. Whatever you want to do with me. Whatever you say. Yes, Lord." That's all I'll say. I don't believe you can do that when you're not satisfied and always wanting to change something. Clay doesn't resist our hand. But men do resist the hand of God. These little kids, they like to play with the Play-Doh when they come to our house.
Oh, yes.
They like to play the Play-Doh. That's one of the things they want to do. Well, some of them like to eat it. That can't go. I mean, same one likes to eat it, eats dirt too, by the way.
Yes, she does.
But they just take those little old hands and they just do all kinds of stuff with that Play-Doh. And I've never seen the Play-Doh fighting them. Or when they squeeze it, it just pops right back out. Whatever they do with it, that's what it does. Clay doesn't resist our hand. Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 16. Bible said, "Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, He made me not." It's like we was talking this morning about the basic element of faith is believing that God created everything in the beginning. Shall the work say of him that made it, He made me not. Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding, didn't know what he's doing when he made me? That sound, see, this thousands of years ago what we're reading here. People have always been the same. Always will be. You would never say things like it. You would never entertain thoughts like that in your mind if you were yielded to God. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 15. Shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it? As if the rod should shake itself against them that lift it up? Or as if the staff should lift up itself as if it were no wood? We're the clay, he is the potter. He's the one with the hands that shape and mold. He's the one that works on us, not us on him. We don't say to God, you don't know what you're doing. Lord, you just don't understand what I need in my life and what I want and what I'm supposed to be. I've heard all kinds of stories, read them all my life since I've been a Christian about somebody wanted to do this since I was a little bitty boy. I mean, they just had this in their mind. Well, that don't mean a lot, let me tell you. That's, a lot of that's imagination. I'm just going to say this. Here's how I see it, and I believe it's right. I don't believe very many people have a clue what God put them here on this earth for in the beginning of their journey. They don't know. A lot of the pressure in school and Bible schools and everything else is put on people to make up your mind now. What you going to be? What does God want you to do? Where are you going with your life? I don't know. I'm clay. God is making something out of me. I don't know what it is yet. You'd be safer doing that than say, well, I know what I want to do, and I know where I want to go, and I know what I'm going to do when I get there.
Right.
Don't work that way. Not with God, it don't. You better believe me. Oh, people would listen to that and believe it. Let me tell you something. 35 years ago, I never dreamed that I'd be this where I'd be now. Or that this is what I would be doing. I said I was a missionary. They'd say something about being a pastor, and I said, no, I ain't no pastor. I don't want to be a pastor. No.
Yeah.
I
remember that.
Well, at some point, you got to yield to the master's hands.
Yes, sir.
You got to yield to the potter and say, okay, Lord. Whatever you say. And God equips you. He fixes you. He girds you with what you need for what He wants you to do.
That's right.
And I'd venture to say that most of the time, it's not what you really think you want when you're young. You know, I mean, if you read about George Mueller, I've read about him. Did you know that he wanted to be a missionary? That's what he thought God wanted him to do. That's what he wanted his life to be about. And he tried and he prepared and he done everything to try to go through that door. And God just would not let him. And you know what he ended up doing?
Yep.
Taking care of orphans. And you know, his name, if you've been a Christian for any time and you've been around any kind of people that read or know anything about Christian history, you know who George Mueller is. Yes, sir. I believe he was clay in the potter's hand. Yeah. So many more. We could go down the line just naming people like that, but this state of a person who's unsaved, this is the state of a person who's unsaved and not yielded to God. The verse I just read, shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith, or the saw shake itself? I mean, that's talking about somebody who is resisting God. It's not the state of a person who's been broken and made new. Now, that's what he said in the beginning here of the... What we read. Let me go back and read that again here. I won't read the whole thing, but he said, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred, in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. So the whole analogy here is that the clay, the potter, the vessel, was marred in the hand of the potter. Well, it got messed up, ruined. It was ruined. While he was working on it, it was ruined. Let me tell you how this thing works. You're a sinner before you're a saint. That's how it works. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. We all know that, don't we? The vessel was broken. It was ruined in the hand of the potter. And woe unto him, let me give you the verse, Isaiah 45 verse 9, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. It doesn't do that. God formed a vessel of clay, and he made it in his own image and likeness. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, and the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But the vessel was marred in the hands of the potter. Impurities were found. Sin entered in. Dryness made the clay too hard to work with anymore, and ignorance and lack of the Word of God in them that are lost. You know, it's a vessel that dries up. If he's going to make it again, what must happen? Well, he dries up till it gets hard. And then he shatters it. And then he hammers it and grinds it to powder again. Y'all hear me?
Yep.
I got another verse to read down here. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a shard to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. You understand what he's saying? When he breaks it and bursts it and shatters it, he's going to do it until there's not a piece big enough to get a coal out of the fire with. Going to break it down into little bitty pieces. The vessel was marred in the hands of the potter. So he has to do that to make it over again. So don't think salvation is just when you pray the sinner's prayer and you get a new lease on life. You just get the old man, just dress him all up again, put that old wine in new bottles. No, 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 that's not the way it works. You put new wine in new bottles. And when you're made over, you're made completely a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That means creation.
Yes.
Made over. We sang a song, the old man's dead. So that's what's got to happen. The vessel's marred, it's ruined, it's corrupted, and the potter has to break it down and grind it into powder before it can be used again. If you buy clay at the store to make something out of, isn't that how you get it? I mean, can't you get it in powder that you mix with water? Yeah. I remember that from the past somehow or another. I remember the clay we played with when I was a little kid in school. I remember what it smelled like. They don't even have that anymore, I don't guess. But I remember that. We loved to play with that clay. But that's what's got to happen when a person is born again into God's family. It's a new birth. It's a regeneration. It's a recreation of you. A new man. A new creature. Without the impurities.
Right.
You hear me?
Yes, sir.
Can you honestly say today that I'm the clay? I mean, can you stand before God and just say, I'm the clay, thou art the potter? Whatever you want to take out of my life is okay. Whatever how you want to reshape my life is okay. You know, that's what changed my life. I remember the moment when I really yielded. And I said that, and I meant it. Whatever you want to do with me, my life is in your hands. And I've tried to never take my hands back on it again. I don't know if I have or not, honestly. Probably have. If I had to make the best guess, I would say, yeah, there's probably been times when I touched what I shouldn't have touched. I'm talking about in my life. Decisions, choices, ambitions, if you will. Probably did. But a potter is very patient when he's making something that he has in mind, has a purpose for. Praise God for that. Are you gladly allowing God to take away the parts of you that are not conformed to the image that He's making of you? All right, what are we predestinated to? Now, to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what we're predestinated to be. That's what the whole thing's about. To bring many sons into glory. It's to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the goal. That's what God's doing in our life. Making us more like Him. Chiseling away. Forming away. Taking away everything that doesn't conform to the image of Christ. Being made more like Him. Are you yielded to that? Are you resisting that? Are there so many impurities in you that the work stops often? Has to start over again? Man. Why do people have so much trouble in their life? Do you ever wonder about that? Why do some people get saved and they just get right and they get in there and they go and God blesses and everything seems to work, and then other people just can't. I mean, it's just crash, get up, crash, get up, crash, bang, slam, rack after rack. What is the world? What's going on there? What in the world? It's not yielding.
Yes,
not
sir.
Yielding. You yield to God. We sang the songs, Lord, pilot my ship. Call Him our captain. Say we're trusting in Him. But at the same time, we're hanging on to the wheel just in case He don't turn it the way we want it to go. Are you gladly allowing God to take away the parts of you that aren't conformed to the image of His Son? Do you thank Him for revealing impurities in your heart and mind? Do you thank Him for showing you where you're wrong and what your problem is and why you're having this trouble and why things are not going right? And why you're just hung up in a state that's wrong, and you know it. You're not growing spiritually. You don't understand. You keep having trouble with everything. Are you glad when God just puts His finger on it and says, there's your problem right there? Do you say, oh, thank you, Lord. You're right.
Yes, sir.
Or do you say, nah, that ain't got nothing to do with this. Do you rest? Let me ask you something. Do you rest in the fact that He's making you into a vessel for His own particular use and trust Him completely without murmuring and doubting? I mean, do you rest in the fact that God's doing with you what He's not doing with anybody else? I mean, He's running your life. And it's not going like everybody else's life is and like everybody thinks your life ought to go. And it's not, your life's not headed in the direction that everybody says that ought to be the direction it's going. Y'all following me?
Yes.
Is this too complicated? Am I talking too much about spinning around? I just want you to understand. You're going to be outside the camp if you're yielded to God.
That's right. Yes.
Most people are not yielded to God. They're not yielded to the potter. They're doing their own thing.
Yes.
And they're going to make it happen no matter what, no matter what. They're going to have it their way. They're going to tell everybody. They're going to be the leader. Yeah. You know, brother, you was talking the other night about schools and how and what they taught you up there about going home and serving. I've got a friend from years ago, and he went to another Bible school, and he told me years later, he said they were bent on trying, their whole goal was to raise up leaders. And he said it was the wrong philosophy. He said they should have been raising up servants to serve.
Yes.
And he's right. Ministers, servants. But everybody wants to be somebody when they're not yielded to what God... If God wants... I mean, just look in the Bible. I've said it before, but when Jehoshaphat and Ahab were going to go up to Ramoth-Gilead, and they were sitting there, and Jehoshaphat said, "Don't you have any preachers here?" And he brought out these false prophets, and he said, "Don't you have any real preachers?" And he said, "Well, there's one, but I know what you're talking about. But I don't like him because he always prophesies evil against me. Won't say nothing good about me or my wife." So they went and got him out of the hole he was in the ground. Brought him up there, and he got one shot at it. I mean, have you ever thought about it? That's all we know about him in the Bible, Micaiah. He had one chance to preach one sermon to two kings. And whatever happened in his whole life was God preparing him for that moment. And he was faithful.
Yes.
And he delivered the mail and went right back to the dungeon.
Yep.
And he was okay with that. Are you okay with God using your whole life maybe for one little purpose? That may seem insignificant to everybody else. You know, would you be willing to be the widow with the two mites? Or the leper? Or blind Bartimaeus? Or the blind man in John chapter 10 who was born blind? Would you be willing to? I mean, that's what the disciples said. They said, "Why was this man born blind? Was it his sin or his parents' sin?" Jesus said it wasn't because of that, but that the Word of God would be glorified, that God be glorified right here. That man was born and was over 40 years old for that moment. I mean, are you okay with God using you for some small purpose like that instead of making you a Christian hero to go write storybooks about and everybody talk about through all the ages? I mean, are you satisfied to be nobody? A vessel unto honor, a vessel unto dishonor. I mean, he can make whatever he wants to make out of us. He's got a right to do that. And he's got a right to expect us to yield to him. Let him have his way with us. Would there be a church here tonight if people through the ages that we don't even know about hadn't done that? There wouldn't be. Will there be a church in the future for anybody to come to if there's nobody in this generation that'll yield themselves to God? No. But I guarantee you, there'll be some that'll yield to God. They'll be yielded to the potter's hand. Submit, James chapter 4, verse 7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God." Simple as that. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." And then a negative verse to end on here, Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 9 says, "Woe unto him that striveth with his Maker." You're striving if you're not yielding.
That's right.
If you don't lay it down. That's when you get peace.
Yep.
Is when you lay down your weapons of resistance and quit resisting God. The Apostle Paul did it on the road to Damascus. He said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" Been persecuting the churches, putting them in jail, I mean, with a passion, he did it thinking he was serving God and doing God's service. But when he met the Lord, and there was a working going on. That wasn't something just happened, boom, instant, like that. No, no, I don't believe that at all. Old Saul of Tarsus was, the Holy Spirit of God was working on him. And then he met the Lord. And then he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You ever done that and really meant it? Lord, what do you have me to do? Lord, I'm yielded to you. Are you satisfied with just being a housewife and a mother? Raising children? That's no waste of time. No. Mercy, that's the foundation of everything. You, where do you think anybody that ever amounted to anything, that God ever made anything out of, where do you think they came from? Yes. The hand that rocks the cradle? Yes. Better believe it. Ought to be satisfied. Ought to be yielded to God's purpose in your life. You ought to be content with such things as you have. You ought to learn that in whatsoever state you find yourself, therewith to be content. And we ought to be willing to let God do with us whatever He wants. If we lose all of our pride, if we do humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, like the Bible tells us to here, and we do submit ourselves unto God, like the Bible tells us to do here, and we present our body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, and there's not going to be any pride left in us. There's not going to be any prideful ambition left in us. We're going to be okay with being a nobody.
That's right.
That's right. Because everybody's somebody. Nobody's a nobody except people who think they're somebody. You're going to let God do with you what He wants, really, 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 really. You know, we endured a lot of preaching about stuff that really was not much value through the years. But I'm thankful that I did hear some of this kind of preaching. It made the difference in my life. Even though I didn't know anything, I knew God expected me to be yielded to Him. And I knew that was the way. That's the way of life. Jesus said, if you find your life, or if you keep your life, you lose it. But if you lose your life for His sake, you find it. The same shall find it. He wasn't talking about dying. He was talking about yielding to God. Yielding your life to God to let Him do with you as He sees fit. I believe you're saved. And I'm saved, trusting in divine wisdom, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Instead of mine or some other person's. I believe God will always do me right. I believe He'll put me out on a limb and cut the limb off.
Yeah.
Don't believe He'll hang me out to dry. Don't believe He'll do that. I believe He's got a reason and a purpose for my life. Probably won't ever know what it was until the whole thing's over. I believe the same thing's true of you.
Yep.
There's no telling how important each one of us is in God's work that He's doing. And if we're not at our post, if we're not available, if we're not yielded, the loss will be great. So, let me ask you tonight, are you? Do you think you're yielded to God? How do you respond when He corrects you? And how does God correct us? Usually through other people. Sometimes with a hard hand. Sometimes with a rough correction or something. Sometimes with a gentle, kind word.
Yes.
Sometimes it's just They don't even know it. We just see them do something or hear them say something. Not even directed at us. God works in all those ways. Sometimes the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, just does that same thing to us. Oh, I've had that happen. Reading the Bible and it just dawned on me. There's things that I've resisted in ignorance. I remember when I understood. When the lights came on and I understood. Wonderful. Psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That's a yielded heart. When you say, "Lord, here I am. The door's open. Search me. Show me what's wrong with me. And help me." And when you're sincere in that, you better brace yourself. Mm-hmm. He'll shine a light in there. And you'll see. You'll see. Amen. Bow with me. Let's bow. Let's have a word of prayer. I don't want to pressure you to hear tonight, and I know we're crowded and can't do much with the altar and all of that, but let me just encourage you to think about this stuff and consider this matter. We're real prone to taking control of our life, our mind, our heart, and the devil encourages us to do so, and the world around us encourages us to do so. But a child of God doesn't live like that. Child of God, you know, God leads His dear children along. If we're led by the Holy Spirit, then we've got a guide. The Bible says that God said back in the Old Testament, He said, "I will guide thee with mine eye." You know what that means? Did you ever look at your little child and when they're doing something wrong and you just give them a look and they know? You don't have to say anything. You sent the message. We direct them with our eyes. God does that. Are you yielded to God tonight? Father, thank you for the Word of God. I believe this is what we needed tonight, and I pray that you'd help us to think on these things. I don't want anybody to feel uprooted from where they're at. I just want people to be yielded to you. And I want to be yielded to you. I want you to guide me and I want you to show me and I want you to correct me when I'm out of the way in my thinking, in my intake from this world around me, when I'm not square with things in my thinking. I want you to show me. And then, Lord, I pray you'd help me to be yielded as I want to be. Lord, I pray I'm the clay and you're the potter. It doesn't matter to me what you do with me. If my life is just to be spent for one little purpose, I don't even care if I know what it is or not. It's in your hands. And I pray you would help us all to trust you in all of this that way. Pray if there's somebody here tonight that's not yielded to you, I pray that you deal with their hearts. And I pray they'd be serious, honest enough with themselves to come to you and admit it. And ask for forgiveness and truly yield their life to you. Lock, stock, and barrel, as I've heard so many times in the past. I belong to you. You bought me. You bought me with your blood, with your life. And Lord, I the least I can do is let you use me and do with me as you please. Please bless it to our hearts. May it sink deep down into our ears in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're yielded, you're happy. Let me tell you that. If you're yielded, there's rest in your soul and peace in your soul. Your anxiety is gone when you're yielded to God. Do you know that? You believe that? I do. I know it's true. He calms the stormy seas and the boisterous waves. He can calm them. And He does. He speaks peace to your heart. Every time Jesus came back to the disciples, that's what He said first. Peace be unto thee. Peace be still. That song, you know. Amen. Right, I won't weary you anymore. Think about it. Amen. Who was the... Somebody in the past wrote this. He said, the world has yet to see what a man fully yielded to God. What God could do with a man fully yielded to Him. Jesus was the only one so far. And that's the standard, that's the mark, to the stature, to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. He was yielded. Even the Samaritan, the centurion recognized that he was a man set under authority. Yielded. Obedient. He didn't do anything on his own. Jesus said that. He said, I do nothing of my own. Do the works of the Father that sent me. And that's what we ought to be striving for, see. My. You know, Nebuchadnezzar said, my kingdom, the glory of my kingdom and the might of my power and my. Sounded like an Obama speech, you know. Did. Count the times he talked about himself, referred to himself. Spoke about possessing. Boy, he's singing a different tune about a year later. He understood that God rules and God does what He wants to do. And men just need to yield to Him. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar had to have the hammer. Lord, I pray I don't have to have the hammer anymore. I'll just yield. Yes. It's better to trust in the Lord. Better to trust in the Lord. Amen. All right. Anybody got a word? No? We had a good service last Sunday night. I really appreciate everybody testifying and stuff. It was a good service. Everybody enjoyed it. It was a blessing. Helpful to all of us, I think. Jerry really enjoyed being here. And it's different. It's refreshing. Refreshing. Yep. Mm-hmm. I hope it's always that way.
Yes.
Amen. All right, we're dismissed.